Welcome back to our series we're calling Living Stones. Scripture says we are, each of us is like a living stone. We're strong in faith and we're alive for God. And together, we as these living stones are being built up into a spiritual house for the Lord. This is the fourth week of our series, and so far we've been talking about what this spiritual house should be like. And we said that it should be a house where people can find love and compassion in hard times. A house that is open and welcoming. A house where everyone plays a part because we believe and acknowledge that God has appointed each person for greatness. Today I want to talk with you about taking a risk for God's house. We all take risks in life. Driving a car, flying in a plane, playing sports. These are all activities that come with dangers and downsides. Businesses take risks all the time. Investors place their bets on the stock market. Even some things you wouldn't even think about normally, like some medical treatments, come with some risks, certain risks. Every day we take risks. We do it because we expect there to be some rewards down the line. Like our business makes a profit, our stock goes up, our health gets better, it improves. We calculate the risks and then we weigh them against the potential reward. Some activities, like, I don't know, being shot out of a cannon, anybody ever tried that? Being shot out of a cannon? I've never done it, but I assume it's quite thrilling. I'm sure the payoff is huge. The reward is great, but also it's very risky. Other behaviors are safer, but they don't usually bring big payouts. Now, I tend to be pretty risk adverse. I like to play it safe, be cautious, not take chances. But our vocalist, Takuz, before Mass told me that she is quite the daredevil. What was it again? Base jumping? No base jumping. Was it skydiving? Dirt biking? None of those things. No. You're risk adverse like me. Well, she does raise two young boys, and that's adventure enough. But anyway, maybe some of you are more adventurous than Takuz and I, and that's okay. But the one question we all have to ask ourselves is this: are you willing to take a risk for God? That's what the widow did in the first reading today. She took a risk for God. The prophet Elijah came to this small village called Zarephath, and he found this widow gathering some sticks to make a fire. He said to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." And she left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." Hospitality was an important value in that culture, including hospitality towards strangers. But they had just been through a terrible famine. They were still going through this terrible famine. It hadn't rained for years. There was no water. Crops had failed. The crops had failed and the people were hungry. They were starving. The widow told Elijah that all she had left was a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. She was about to make one more meal for herself and her son. But Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do what you propose. But first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can go and prepare something for yourself and your son." You can imagine how this widow must have felt, this stranger asking for food and water when there was almost nothing left. Plus, he was being a little pushy about it, wouldn't you say? But then Elijah promised her a great reward. He said to her, "The jar of flour in your house will not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth." He was saying to her that she would survive the famine. She and her son would have enough to eat as long as she did exactly what he said for them to do. So the widow had an important decision to make. Would she risk giving a portion of what she had left to Elijah? If she did not, if she held back, maybe she and her son could hold on for a little while longer. Another day of life is another day of life. On the other hand, Elijah was only asking for a small portion and promising a great reward, plus he was a prophet of God. That's got to count for something. The widow thought about it, ran the calculations in her mind, weighed the risk against the reward, and decided to go with God. She left and did as Elijah had said, and she was able to eat for a year, as was Elijah and her son. Elijah's promise came true. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry. The risk paid off. Every day, God asks us to take risks. Usually it's something small, a minor inconvenience, something that just feels a little unsettling or uncomfortable, like maybe saying a kind word or gesture, offering a kind gesture to a stranger, inviting a friend or neighbor to mass, to church, maybe just trying to do the right thing in a difficult situation when no one else is and it's hard to do the right thing, or maybe even just sharing some of what you have with others like the widow did today. But sometimes God asks us to take even greater risks. For me, that was going to the seminary. I had a lucrative legal career. I was happy in Atlanta. I had a close-knit community of friends. I had a house in a neighborhood I liked, a church that I adored, loved going to every Sunday. I would be taking a huge chance leaving all that behind, which is why I dragged my feet for a long time. But finally, when I went to seminary, what I discovered is that many of the other men had taken similar kinds of risks, stepping away from high-paying jobs, coming to a foreign country, having to adapt to a whole new culture, leaving extended family networks behind, and even sometimes breaking off long-term romantic relationships. And seminary is a completely new lifestyle. You have to adjust to a new environment, get used to a different routine and schedule, and others telling you where you have to be and when you have to be there. You have to learn new languages, study hard, hit the books, which can be difficult if you've been away from school for a while. It's not easy, and it's a long haul, and some don't make it. Going to seminary is no guarantee that you will end up becoming a priest. And after having left behind so much, it would be difficult, if not impossible, to go back to your former way of life. It was a great risk for God. Maybe God is asking you to take some daring step in faith. Join a small group if you've been dragging your feet on that. Or joining a ministry, serving in a ministry, helping other people. Or going on one of the mission trips overseas that we're planning for next year. That would be quite an adventure, wouldn't it? Or maybe it's something a little bit even bigger than that. God has been prompting you to move forward on something that's been on your heart for a long time, maybe a major life change, like changing jobs or careers, going back to school, starting your own business, moving to a new place, a new living situation, maybe a senior living situation. Or if you're younger, getting married finally, taking the plunge, having a baby, maybe having lots of babies, or trying a religious vocation. Whatever it is, it might not seem like a risk to trust God when you think about it, right? Because God is all-powerful. He can do anything, make the impossible happen. The risk is not that God will go back on his promises or is unable to fulfill them. Scripture says God keeps every promise he makes. No, the risk is having enough faith to believe it. And that sometimes takes a giant leap of faith. The widow in the gospel today took that kind of leap. Like many widows in her time, she was destitute, had no money. In those days, when a woman could not inherit property, so when her husband passed away, she would have to rely on her sons or other male relatives to take care of her. If she didn't have any sons or other male relatives, or they just kind of didn't rise to the occasion and take care of her, she would literally have to beg on the streets for food and money. It was a bad situation. In the gospel story, this poor widow came into the temple and deposited two small coins into the treasury. There were 13 donation boxes located all around the temple in various places. They all were shaped like the horn of a trumpet, and they were made of bronze. You can see one of them pictured here in this area called the Court of Women. It's way back there in the top right corner. That was the donation box. The rich people loved to show off by throwing in lots of coins into those donation boxes because they made lots of noise. They made lots of noise. That metal from the coins clanking on the bronze metal drew a great deal of attention. And the rich people loved it. You could literally tell how much someone gave by the sound that you heard. Compared to all that, the donation the widow gave was trivial, too insignificant to even be noticed. Those two coins, so small, they probably barely made a sound at all. But unlike all those wealthy people who gave only from what they had left over, Jesus said, this widow, from her poverty, gave all that she had, her whole livelihood. She didn't do it to impress anybody. She did it to honor God, to help build up his house, the temple. But it was a huge risk for her, because now, with no money left, she would have to rely completely and totally on God to provide her next meal. Sometimes the house God is asking us to build requires us to take great risks, move outside our comfort zones, go out on a limb, do something unusual. Over 130 years ago, our spiritual forefathers built a small church in downtown Tiburon on a grassy hill overlooking the bay. They called it St. Hilary. It was a risk, because developers desperately wanted the land. If you've ever been up there, you'll know why. They desperately wanted the land, and against all odds, that structure thankfully still stands today, and it is protected. 70 years later, our ancestors in faith took another risk, and they built this beautiful church. Sometimes it's easy to forget when you're in your own home, but when new people come, they invariably tell me two things about this parish. One, how welcome they felt, and number two, how beautiful this building is. But it was a risk for our ancestors of faith to take that. About 10 years later, the school came along, and the Sisters of the Holy Faith took a great risk, coming from Ireland to a whole new land out on the West Coast to teach in our school. 25 years ago, our parishioners took another risk. They dug deep and worked with the city and neighbors to upgrade our facilities. They constructed this beautiful parish hall next door, a middle school with a state-of-the-art science lab and a gymnasium that the community regularly uses. It was a risk. Today, we stand on the shoulders of these risk-takers and pioneers. We stand on the sure foundation they have laid for all of us here at St. Hilary Church. But the building continues even now. When I became pastor about 4 years ago, I formed a leadership team, and we looked at all the wonderful things, the progress that's been made in the whole history of this church, and all the wonderful things that our ancestors in faith have done for us. But we also knew there was more to do. For one thing, church attendance had been dropping year after year after year since 2002. We have the statistics. It wasn't anybody's fault. It was demographic changes, cultural shifts. All of the parishes in this area have been in decline for a while. But we did the math. We ran the calculations. We looked at that downward trend, and we saw that if that trend continued at the same rate, this parish would not exist in 50 years. There would just be nobody coming. So we decided that we should try to do something about that. We prayed, developed a plan, took some risks, made a number of bold moves. We shifted our music program to praise and worship on Sunday mornings. We invested in upgrading our technology with monitors, more lights, cameras, live streaming equipment. I started preaching in what's known as a homily series or message series format. It's considered a best practice among all the growing churches in America. Some people didn't like it, and they left, and that hurt me. I didn't want that to happen. But today, we have turned that downward trend around. As you can see from this graph, over the last 4 years, we keep growing and growing and growing. It's a steady growth rate. And when you combine that with our wonderful online congregation that we love so much, thank you for joining us today, we're actually larger than we were in 2002. 2 years ago, we took another risk and launched our Sunday morning's children program called Jesus Jam in our parish hall next door for kids 3 and up, and our children's nursery called The Creche for younger ones. Today, our 9 a.m. Mass is packed with young families. You should come sometime. It's a little chaotic, a little loud, but it is a whole lot of fun. And my favorite moment is on my way out, all those kids that are going to Jesus Jam are giving me high fives on the way out. It makes me feel like $1 million. We took a risk. It paid off. Next, we went for broke on our small groups. We invested time and money in growing our groups, and we've been able to grow them by 500%. Today, roughly half of our parishioners are in small groups and loving them. Our next venture is our new missions program. That's a risk too, but I firmly believe that it will fundamentally transform this parish over time, and that we will grow hearts for the poor everywhere. We will become known all around as that little church that gives. What more can we accomplish when we work together as living stones for the Lord? Our predecessors, 130 years ago, when they built St. Hilary downtown, old St. Hilary now, could not have imagined the magnificent campus we have here today and the wonderful, dynamic, alive parish we enjoy. Can you imagine what the future might look like for us 100 years from now, 200 years? In 2 weeks, on Stewardship Sunday, we're going to celebrate all of the progress that we've made in the history of our church. We're going to honor our ancestors, both living and dead, who have built this parish from the ground up, who have given so much blood, sweat, and tears to make this parish the great parish it is today. And we're going to ask you to take a risk for God by investing or continuing to invest in the growing ministries of this church. We'll invite you to make what we call a commitment of faith about what your financial giving will be to this parish in the coming calendar year, 2025. I was the first one to fill out a stewardship faith commitment card. I only say that because I would never ask you to do something I wouldn't do. That widow in the gospel gave all she had to a temple that would soon be destroyed by the Romans in just a few decades. You are giving to a spiritual house that is eternal, a temple that will last forever because it is built on the cornerstone of Christ, the one true living stone who is Christ the Lord. We cannot fail. And so I am asking you to dream with us about what the future could hold. Don't put limits on what God can do for this spiritual house. This is your house, your home away from home. You are a living stone in it. So I humbly and respectfully ask you, take hold of the future. Take hold of the promise. Take a risk for God. Because taking a risk for God is actually the safest bet you could ever make. And all it takes is a single leap of faith.